You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Tuesday morning, welcome to Montana, man. Yeah, to a place called Fort Smith, Montana. You could look it up, and to the Kingfisher Lodge, and again, more of the beauty of Montana. So, yesterday, dropped some, guys off from 3rd Battalion 1st Marines from Lima Company and, dropped them off at the airport. And then, James Moran and I headed down here. And, Montana, beautiful country, man. Beautiful country. And so it's cool just to, you know, just to be there, here. And so got here yesterday, and James told me, I said, so, you know, who's down there? And he said, Marines from Bravo Company, 1st Recon. I said, oh, really? And he said, yep. He said, there's a bunch of them, too. There's about 11 or 12 of them that showed up. And so then I start thinking about Bravo Company 1st Recon and, you know, what year would they have fought a lot? And I was in Iraq in 2004 when 1st Recon was there. I was in Iraq in 2006 when 1st and 2nd Recon were there. I was in Afghanistan in 2010-11 when 1st Recon was there. And so I started thinking. I said, I wonder if it's Bravo Company Marines from 2010 to 2011, because when they deployed from the United States, they deployed to work for General Furness was a CO. He was a colonel then of 1st Recon. He was a CO of 1st Marine Regiment. So we go over there, plussed up. So we become Regimental Combat Team 1 with all our, all of our accoutrements that you go to war with. And then the battalions that show up to work for me from, you know, all three divisions, sometimes all four divisions, if you have reserve Marines working for you. So 1st Recon Battalion works for us, in Ao Montezuma, in the vicinity of the city of Marja. And again, I mean, this is kind of crazy shit, but I knew some of these guys because you've heard me tell a story about the Pape family, right? And you've heard Ross Pape be interviewed. He's a farmer in northwest Minnesota. He had two brothers, both killed. I presented two flags in my life, and both to his mother. So both brothers were part of First Recon Battalion. When the younger brother was killed in a parachuting accident at Camp Pendleton in 2009, Sergeant Ryan Pape, the MEF sent, I want to say 34, you know, so approximately 35 Marines to the funeral from First Recon. And so I had met some of these guys at the funeral. And I remember being in our combat operations center in Afghanistan, and somebody from a master gunnery sergeant from 1st Recon Battalion was coming up to coordinate. They were doing some jumps in preparation for maybe some combat jumps that they were going to do. And so, you know, you get briefed, hey, Max, so-and-so's going to show up. We're going to do some coordination. You know, if you're free, you know, we'd like you to sit in on it, right? Okay. And so this master sergeant walks in, a master gunner sergeant, and he's a big dude, right? He's a big dude. And so he, I look at him and I said, holy shit, man. And we shake hands, and he had been the senior Marine with the group of 35 Marines that had come to East Grand Forks, Minnesota, which was right across the river from where I lived in Grand Forks, North Dakota. So the river runs between and through the middle of the city. And the Papes are from the Minnesota side of the river. And, you know, and so got a chance to sit and talk to him and, you know, and then, you know, talk business, what they were doing, you know, what they needed from us and how we could help and whatnot. So, yeah, so it's like this convergence of stories. And then as the kind of fight developed through the fall of 2010, 3rd Battalion, 5th Marines had their hands full up in Sangin. And so 1st Recon Battalion got sent up there. And so we lost them, and they went north. And they did some fighting that was unbelievable. And for whatever reason, the Taliban or whoever was up there, they wanted to fight. And so I'll tell you this. First of all, what was going on with 3-5 got our attention. Okay. Cause the number of casualties that they were taking was pretty, sobering. And so, you know, in addition to us, you know, doing what we're supposed to do, which is watch our battle space like a hawk, you know, we would keep an eye on, you know, when stuff would happen up there, we'd watch it happen in chat windows, right? And whether it was troops in contact or medevacs or fire missions or, you know, if there was nothing going on in our battle space, that would catch our attention. And we'd, you know, we'd watch and we'd look at maps and stuff like that. You know, what's going on, right, in the battle space. And so 1st Recon went up there. I mean, and I'm telling you, they were killing hundreds of people. And guys who, you know, they're like, all of a sudden you're seeing stuff you didn't see. You know, they've got a, you know, recoilless rifle in the tree line. Like, what? Like, this is awesome, man. They want to fight. Let's get it on, man. And these guys from Bravo Company were up there. So I show up yesterday. James Moran and I drive down here. And there's one Marine that's there. And so, you know, we shake hands and we start talking. I said, hey, when did you guys fight together? And he said, in Afghanistan, 2010-11, sir. And I was like, no shit. He's like, yes, sir. And I said, well, I used to watch you guys all the time, and I worked with you for a while, but then you guys went north. And so, I have these experiences that are, I don't know how to describe them. They're unbelievable. And so, as the day went by, these guys came back from fly fishing on the Bighorn River and, laughing, talking shit. Playing, what's that game, cornhole, where there's a wooden box and you throw the beanbags through? One of these Marines, man, is like the most gifted cornhole player I've ever seen. Yeah, it's like pissed me off. He's like killing it. I'm like, what are you, like Harry Potter of the cornhole? He's like, hey, sir, we played this shit on aboard ship, when I was on a Mew. He said, I've got a game at home. He said, I'm not bad. I said, not bad, man. Holy shit, you're drilling this thing like it's cool. But no, just meeting them and talking to them. And, I say, being in the company of Marines is the warmest place in the world, the coolest place in the world. And just sitting around and, listening to what they're doing today and whatnot. So it was really cool. The funny stories they tell about getting out of the Marine Corps. Two of them are talking about they living in a tree fort. And it's like, what? And then like, yeah, sir, they were living in a tree fort out in the woods. And then they say, well, it really wasn't a tree fort, but it was made out of trees, right? And, it had one electrical outlet, I think. I don't think it was generator powered, but anyway. But the story is like out of practicality, right? We can rent a place and we can scuffle to save money, blah, 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 blah. Or we can go live in the woods for free on this dude's land. We've lived in the dirt before and we can save all of our money and we can, right, we can start a business in like 2 months as opposed to a year. And so that's the story, bro. That's the story behind living in the treehouse. But, when you hear Marines tell stories like that, I mean, they're hilarious. They're hilarious. But let me tell you, one of the funniest parts of the story is them talking about everybody thought we were gay. And they said, and everybody was so nice. Everybody was so nice to us. Right? Like these gay Marines. And again, it doesn't matter to me, right? But he said everybody's reaction to it, right? They were super, super nice to us. We're meeting the mayor and all this other people. And then we find out later, somebody refers to you those gay Marines that live out there. Like, what gay Marines? And then they're talking to me, like, those guys aren't gay. You're like, what? but you could imagine just the hilarity of listening to them tell these stories, man. And so it's, again, I describe my experiences relative to post-traumatic winning, as good on top of good on top of good on top of good. And they only get better. They only get better. And so it's awesome to be here in Fort Smith hanging out with a bunch of Marines from Bravo Company, 1st Recon Battalion. And so today we'll do post-traumatic winning this morning. And it's kind of interesting because, it's like you hear them talk about, well, so what's going on tomorrow? And it's like, well, we're going to have a class, and like heads like turn. And so then they meet me and they're like, we've heard good things about what you do, but everybody's leery about a class. And I'm like, I know, man, it happens to be everywhere I go. And I said, so don't be haters. And they're laughing. They're like, we won't. And then it was interesting. After dinner, a few of them like hung out and we started talking. And they're like, well, what makes what you do different? And so we started talking and they were like, and then one kid one man who's here, younger than me, so I use the word kid, but, he's a triple amputee. And he looked at me and goes, I like the way you explain it, right? I've gone to therapy. He said, he goes, I've never heard anybody explain it like you're explaining it. And he said, I'm, He said, "Do I have to go to the class now?" I said, "Yeah, the class is better. The class is better." I said, "But no, look, the class, it's not a resiliency class, and I'm not going to tell you not to kill yourself. I'm just going to lay out the path. All comes from Marines, man. Most of them enlisted. The path you need to walk to live a great life." And they're looking at me, and they know I'm not bullshit now. They've got to know me. And they think it's really cool that I was there when they were there, that I know what they did. And, in fact, I was talking to General Kennedy, who called me. I mean, Paul's a good friend of mine. And he's a fly fisherman, right? So I'm up here in Montana, and I sent him a picture. And, I mean, it's just beautiful, right? And he's like, "Buddy, where are you? What are you doing?" And I said, "You're a fly fisherman, right?" He goes, "Yes, that's gorgeous." So we were talking. When they went north into Sangin, right, they worked for Paul Kennedy. He was the CO of 2nd Marine Regiment up there, RCT-2. And he goes, "Buddy, will you do me a favor?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Would you tell them how much I respect them and how impressed I was with the way they fought and how important the contribution they made was to our fight? Tell them I love them. And if there's ever anything I could do for any of them, just reach out." So, and then they yelled at me, "Mac, get in here." And I said, "Yeah." So I said, "I got to go." And I hung up and I walked in, and dinner was just getting ready to start. And the food, I'll talk about in a second. And I said, "Hey, before anything else goes on, I was just on the phone with General Kennedy. He was your regimental commander when you guys went up to Sangin. And he told me to tell you all this, right?" And so that was the first toast of the night. You know, here's to you guys from him. And so, I mean, like I said, really cool stuff. But let me tell you about the food. So you're in the middle of nowhere, right? And you're at this lodge, and I'm in this this beautiful room, double bedroom, refrigerator and whatnot, designed for people to come and spend time here and fly fish and relax and whatnot. But the people that own this place, I mean, the wife is a gourmet chef. And she made the first thing she put out was chips and smothered in cheese and black beans and then salsa, guacamole, and sour cream. And they devoured that, as you might imagine. And then dinner, I think, was slices of prime rib with some kind of mesquite barbecue sauce underneath it. So the barbecue sauce on the plate, very beautifully kind of laid out. The prime rib cut in slices laid over the top of it, asparagus, and then some form of baked potato. It was skinned and baked, and I mean, it was delicious, absolutely delicious. And that after a salad that was awesome, and then some brownie with or chocolate cake kind of brownie thing with vanilla ice cream and caramel syrup and chocolate syrup on the plate. Yeah, in the middle of nowhere. It's like, I haven't eaten this good. I haven't eaten this good in months. And I'm in the middle of nowhere. I mean, the food was awesome in Nye, where I was the last few days. And now, I mean, holy shit. But like I said, I live a charmed life. I mean, I truly do. And the things people have taught me, you know, people like Libby Weichel and so many people that I have met, guys like Jack Riley, Bob Nielsen. I mean, all the people that have contributed to this thing that's developed into a transformational experience for people. You know, there's no way that I would ever be able to repay them. There's no way that I will ever be able to articulate to them all the different experiences I have, where you see somebody's eyes light up that say, you mean I could make a difference? I wanted to, but I don't know how to talk about it. And then after they sit through the class, you know, Murray looked at me last night and he said, I'm really excited because, you know, I do want to talk about it. And I do have thoughts like, man, well, maybe I could help somebody, but I don't know how to talk about it. Right. And he got up and he shook my hand. He goes, hey, I'm glad you're here. I try to go to sleep after that, you know, but that's just one of a litany of things. And let me tell you what's going to happen today. What's going to happen today is I'll do this thing here and it starts in about an hour. And then the rest of the day, I think we're going to go to the Custer Battlefield, which I'm fired up about. I mean, I've been to the battlefield before, but it's cool to be in such a historic place. And then there's a lake they want to go to. So I'll just tag along. But what will happen all day will be Marines come up to talk about different shit with me, right? Something they heard in the presentation or a piece of their life that corresponds to something that they heard that they've never heard before. And just how excited they are to know that they can be, that they can do this and they can have the experiences that I have. And so today will be yet another magical day in my life. And I just keep telling people, if you can ask two questions, you'll have the same experiences. And the first one is, hey, man, can I talk to you? And the second one is, hey, you know there's nothing wrong with you, right? You know that what you're going through is absolutely normal for what you've been through. And I have some stuff I'd like to show you that comes from my culture. Would you like to see it? And I'll tell you what the answer to that question always is. I'd love to. So, so today's going to be a cool day. What's not going to be cool about it is the length of the show. There's like one news story that I want to talk about real quick. And then I have to run. But tomorrow you're going to hear interviews from some of these guys that I will do later today. And then tomorrow in the morning, I get up and go to drop James at the Billings Airport. And then I head to Big Timber to go see Montana Man. Yes, I'll see Montana Man and F-18 Man will be over there. So obviously looking forward to that. Never been to the ranch in Big Timber and heard a lot about it. But it'll be great to see Rob Schwartz, who's Montana. That's Rob is the fictional character known as Montana Man. He's not from Montana. He lives in Idaho, but he's not from Idaho either. He's from Indiana. Indiana Man does not like Indiana Jones. Sounds cool. Indiana Man, not so much. Maybe we should call him Indiana Man. We'll rename him. He won't want. Here's the funny thing. He won't want to be Indiana Man. He'll say, no, I want to be Montana Man. So on this Tuesday morning, the 14th day of July, I think today's Bastille Day, isn't it? The 14th of July? Might be. Not sure. Good morning to you from Big Sky Country in Montana. The United States Marine Corps Band makes this morning official for the second time. Good morning to you. is dedicated to James Moran. He's the reason I'm out here. The Bar X Project, which is James's nonprofit corporation, and the Marines of Bravo Company, 1st Recon Battalion, who fought and sang in, and in the Helmand Province in 2010-2011. Today's going to be an awesome day, and I'm just happy that I could be here, and I hope that in some way, shape, or form, what they hear today contributes to them living a great life. And that great life is filled with changing other people's lives, touching them, helping them see a path that they don't see right now. And in the transformation of others, they experience the transformation that so many Marines have had since they've heard this. And so this is dedicated to that proposition.
Betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me. I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fighting. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Somebody sent me an email and said, hey, where the hell are you? I don't see those places on a map. Well, you can find them. But if you look at Montana, right? Billings is kind of in the south central part of the state. Fort Smith is southwest of Billings towards the Wyoming border. Nye is about south of Billings a ways. And Big Timber is due west of Billings, about an hour and a half, right? Billings, again, south central. So Big Timber, kind of west central Montana. And then Helena is, Butte is on the western side of the state. Butte and then Missoula. Helena, Montana is north. So it'd be like, Helena would be in the north, western central part of the, it's not west-west, but it's western part of the state in the north. All right, so there you have it. So that's kind of sort of where I'm moving around. Time for us to check the weather here on a Tuesday morning. Currently, a little bit earlier than I normally do this, but that's all right. You'll get an idea. It is mostly sunny and 76 in Quantico, down the coast at Camp Lejeune. It is sunny and 77, 29 Palms, where the sun is yet to come up. It is clear, dark, and 79. Camp Pendleton, cloudy and 67. Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark, cloudy, 73. In Okinawa, dark, cloudy, and 84. In Afghanistan, it is sunny in the middle of the afternoon and 111. Yeah. And in the Al-Anbar province of Iraq, it is sunny and 111 as well. At the home of All Marine Radio, it is 69 degrees in Southern California, looking for a high. I know that it's hot in the southwest, in the southern part of the country, but in Southern California, looking for a high of 74 today. In Southern California. So, yeah, there you have it. The weather here in Fort Smith is 59 degrees under partly sunny skies right now. Here is early part of the morning and looking for a high of 80 today. So beautiful weather in Montana. The story I wanted to talk about is I think a huge story, and that is I'll read you the little blurb out of the Wall Street Journal. Well, that's not it. The United Kingdom to ban Huawei from its 5G network. The British government gives telecommunications company until 2027 to remove the Chinese firm's technology from their 5G networks. The British government said it would bar telecom companies from purchasing new equipment made by China's Huawei technology company and gave them until 2027 in a sharp about-face that marks a significant victory for the United States. Right, and let me tell you, that's not understated. Right, the United States, again, China has an agenda and control telecommunications infrastructure, which means you're going to be able to spy on anybody you want to. And so the United States has been lobbying the United Kingdom not to do this. And I'm honestly, thank God. You know, I mean, our historical relationship with the United Kingdom, you know, has been what has built this rules-based order post-World War II and that partnership. And, you know, the Trump administration, if I'm not mistaken, you know, the organization, I think it's called Five Eyes, that shares intelligence, and the UK is one of the principals in that, that we share with constantly. And I think the president, you know, said, look, you know, if you do this, you compromise the integrity of the system and we won't be able to share with you. So anyway, the decision follows new U.S. restrictions on the sale of Huawei computer chips and comes amid broader deterioration of relations between the United Kingdom and China, most recently relating to China's imposition of a new security law over the British colony, the former British colony of Hong Kong. Oliver Dowden, the British minister in charge of digital issues, told the House of Commons on Tuesday that new purchases of Huawei 5G equipment would be barred from the end of this year and that the Chinese company's gear would have to be stripped out of British networks by the end of 2027. As recently as January, the UK said it could mitigate the risk of Huawei equipment in its network. The UK is also launching a consultation on when to ban the purchase of Huawei kit from the country's fiber optics network. This will be followed by a transition period that isn't expected to exceed 2 years. this move, which has come under significant American pressure, builds the pressure on other European governments to shut Huawei out of their 5G networks. That effort, being led by Robert O'Brien and his counterparts from Italy, Germany, France, and the UK, are meeting in Paris this week. So, again, I mean, it's a huge victory, you know, for the United States. And let me tell you this. I think that the future of free commerce lies in the free nations of the world acting in concert relative to China, right? The world has done China's dance with the hope, you know, and President Bush the Elder's hope that China would at some point, you know, become something that it has never become. And so I think we can all put that charade to rest and deal with China as China is, you know, and the predatory nation that it is. And the only way to do that, because of the size of its economy and the way it acts, the predatory way in which it acts is to act in concert, and that seems to be difficult. The Wall Street Journal article goes on, the U-turn followed a new review by the UK's National Cybersecurity Centre, part of the nation's GCHQ, whatever that is, Electronic Intelligence Agency, triggered by the U.S. export bans in May. The swift policy reversal played out during the coronavirus pandemic. So, huge story coming out of the U.K. this morning. Anyway, that'll do it for today. So, in abbreviated program, I've got to get my butt moving and get up and get ready to present post-traumatic winning. So, I'm excited about that. And so I normally don't play this song this early in the program, but today I will. Anyway, since you're not going to spend a couple hours with me, you know, my suggestion is go change somebody's life. In the spirit of winning, go change somebody's life. Or check on somebody whose life you changed or impacted or you interacted with relative to this stuff. So that's my suggestion. So from Fort Smith, Montana, at the Kingfisher Lodge, where life's pretty cool, have a great day on a Tuesday, All Marine Radio, over and out.